If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If this all happened, why don't I remember?
Because you do not want to. Our brains have a defense mechanism in place to protect it from bad memories, from trauma. You buried these memories long ago.
Papa, when I was in there, I saw something. There was blood. So much blood.
That was another memory, a more powerful one, invading from your subconscious. You have demons, Eleven. You have demons in your past. That is why we must proceed carefully. One step at a time. One memory at a time. If we go too fast, I'm afraid you could become lost in the darkness. And if you were lost, so are we all.
Stranger danger, talking stranger things. Together forever, we're loving Stranger Things. It's Stranger Things forever. Rewatching season 4 from the start to the finish. It's Stranger Things forever. Every podcast we do will cover just 10 minutes. Stranger danger everywhere. I hope that you people still care. It's time for me to do it. Let's get to it. Come on, everyone.
Greetings, stranger friends, and welcome back again today to another episode of Stranger Things Forever. I told you I'd be back today. Now, this was a lot later than I originally imagined. I thought maybe I'd do two in a row. I had another project, another podcast I was working on in the middle, and that one took a lot longer, and then I went to get a haircut, and then I got a text from my brother, hey, could you help me move some furniture? I was like, again, sure, okay, fine. And then my parents were like, hey, you want to come over for dinner? I'm like, okay, fine, we'll do that too. And then my wife's like, hey, come in here and read. And my dog's like, I want to go for a walk. And I was like, I want a podcast about Stranger Things. Why can't you people, you know, I actually didn't say that. But it led me to finally getting back to recording to you. It's about 10:30 p.m. on the East Coast right now as I am recording today's second episode. Last time we finished out the Nina Project, and today we're jumping into the first 10 minutes of the dive. But before we get there, before we get to Chapter 6, I have a question for you. What are you doing on New Year's Eve? I thought I knew. Usually, New Year's Eve is we go get some Chinese food, and then we watch a movie and we chill. It's pretty much like we don't go out. We're not usually like there's no usual parties. At least, I mean, maybe there are. Just we're not invited. I don't know. But we're pretty much homebodies, and we end up watching New Year's Rockin' Eve. We enjoy it. We make fun of it. It's corny, but we like it. And then my wife falls asleep. I usually read or do something, and then I wake her up so that we can watch the ball drop together and give a little Happy New Year. And then we both, well, I'll put on New Year's Rockin' Eve a little more until I fall asleep. She falls back asleep a lot quicker. That's the usual New Year's Eve. This year, it's a little different because what I thought I'd be doing is most of what you're hearing And then, oh, you dozed off? Boom, jumping over and watching the big finale of Stranger Things. Now, I'm thinking my wife might actually let me just go watch it right away because, you know, it's a pretty big deal and she knows how long I've been working on this project. And, you know, it's a pretty big deal as just being a fan of the show. Now, the timing for it to be on Netflix is 5 p.m. Pacific time. Well, guess what? I've never been in the Pacific time. I am on the East Coast of the United States of America in Massachusetts, where it will be 8 p.m. Now, here's the thing. So I figure that at 8 p.m., I will be sitting on my couch watching Stranger Things intently, never getting up unless my dog needs me for something until the episode is over, and then probably get started on getting the finale of Stranger Danger 5 out to you guys. That at least is what I assume the tentative plan would be. But I have to ask you. Well, that was kind of exciting. However, that was just a false alarm, an actual, literal false alarm you just heard going off in our house at about 10:35 or so. So I lost about 10 minutes. It's 10:45 right now, but just did a check. Now, sometimes our smoke alarms go off. Sometimes it's because I'm cooking. Sometimes the heat. Sometimes something happens that triggers them. Everyone's okay. False alarm with a fire. That was just a little, you know, just a little excitement that I wasn't expecting. And I'm not going to edit out because it happened. I accidentally it just kept recording. So 10 minutes, I just went back and just kind of gave you a little glimpse of fire, fire, fire. But there was no fire. However, you know what is fire? The fact, I'm going to get right to the point. The fact that the series finale of Stranger Things is going to be in 350 theaters in the U.S. and Canada on the 31st, December 31st, that's right, at 5 p.m. Pacific time. Remember I talked about that? I'm on the East Coast, 8 p.m. time to exactly sync up with the finale's global premiere on Netflix. And apparently it's also going to be on the 1st as well. And I'm thinking to myself, would I actually go to the theater on the 31st to watch the Stranger Things finale? And, you know, I thought, oh, what if my niece isn't busy? Now she's 15 years old. Of course she's going to be busy on New Year's Eve. I don't know if I would. Only because I want to focus on this show, this episode, so bad. And while being in the theater would be a great, could be a great experience, it also could suffer from the fact that there are cretins around you on New Year's Eve who want to be loud and cause issues. Now, that being said, if I go through and watch everything, you know, watch it at home, and then there's the chance to go see it the next day, because if it's going to be in the theater on the 1st, watch it again, that might not be a bad idea. But at this point, I'm guessing that on New Year's Eve, I will be watching the finale at home. And I'm curious if you can or want to leave a comment. If you're on Spotify, you can leave a comment on this episode if you plan on going to see the finale in the theater. Just interested. Or if you're not, why aren't you? Is it the same as me? You just want to focus on it and you don't want the distractions of other people? People. That could be it. I was going to make some sort of alarming joke to go back to the fire alarm, but I'm not going to do that. Instead, I am not going to waste any more of your time because I need to get this done. I said I want to get it done today, and we're getting closer to the end of the day, and I don't want to be a liar. So let's jump into the first 10 minutes of The Dive.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key. And that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
So the dive starts off in Hawkins. We see police cars racing down the street and they pull up. We don't know exactly where they are yet, but we see Chief Powell get out and he walks over to, it's not Patrick. The other kid, the kid I never remember his name, the prick who never takes his hat off, and he looks shook. And Powell asks him, you know, where is he? They rush out to the back and they see Jason sitting there. There's blank look on his face. He seems to be in shock. And then we see, oh, he's holding Patrick, or I guess what's left of Patrick. He's basically cradling him in his arms. And we zoom in and we see that eyeless, lifeless face of poor Patrick. He was like, out of all the basketball pricks, he was the one I disliked the least. In fact, he just seemed to be, he almost seemed hesitant of doing these things, but he did go along with them. So we cut inside the house now, and we see Powell and the other officer, Callahan. They're asking Jason where Eddie is. And, you know, Jason, he doesn't lie about anything. He's saying truthfully that Eddie was in the boat. And they're like, well, then who lifted Patrick out of the water? He's like, you're not listening to me. Eddie's a vessel. He's just a vessel. And they're like, a vessel? He says, for Satan. He made a pact with the devil. Now he has his powers. Now, that's a big leap. You could say there's something going on here. What it is ain't exactly clear. Like, there's something dangerous. There's something magical. There's something demonic, you could say. But the fact that he's very much like he made a pact with the devil and now he has his powers seems just very much like a conclusion has been jumped to, that he knows exactly what's going on. And the officers are looking like, did this boy lose his marbles? And Jason senses this. You know, he looks at him. He's like, you don't believe me. And they're like, we're just trying to, process everything, all of this, you know, if that's all, okay? And he says, he sees the way they're looking at him. He's like, how do you expect to stop the devil if you don't believe he's real? That's actually a great line. So we cut out back and we see police are everywhere, in and out of the water looking for Eddie. We follow a boat, go by, and then we go under the water. The camera goes under the water below the surface. And I'm thinking, has Eddie been holding his breath all this time? But no, we see a fish, little fish just swimming along. And then, pachow, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, a tentacle grabs the fish and pulls it under as we go to the opening credits. And then, after the credits, we cut to some undisclosed location. Some kind of boiler room or interrogation room. I don't know exactly where we are. But we see that agent, you know, the one of Owen's men. He was the one that was taken in California, not the one who got shot and stayed with the kids during the California ambush. He's strapped to a chair. He looks busted open pretty good. And he has a couple men standing over him, guarding him. And then up walks Lieutenant Colonel Jack Sullivan. He's like the adult prick, while Jason is the youthful prick. And he goes up to him. He's like, I can make it stop. I can make the pain go away. Where's the girl? And he's like, I told you, I don't know. Now, look, I mean, again, Jason, I don't know if he's making sense talking about Satan, but if you saw what he saw, and you already thought that they're in some sort of weird devil cult with Dungeons and Dragons, jumping to those conclusions isn't crazy. Now, at the same time, when you see what Colonel Jack is saying, he's like, listen, there are two proposed explanations for what's happening. Explanation one, an invisible boogeyman from another dimension is slaughtering these kids. Explanation two, Dr. Brenner's special little pet has gone rogue again, and he and his lackeys are now seeking to cover it up, perhaps in hopes of selling their pet to the Soviets. Now, when you put it that way, when you say it out loud, again, it almost seems like he has a point. Like, which explanation sounds more plausible? The girl that we know was trying to be bred as some sort of weapon to you know spy on Soviets. Now maybe they're covering up in hopes of selling their pet to the Soviets. I don't know what that has to do with slaughtering these kids again while she's in California. So it's weird because what he says logically over there with Brenner and the special project gone rogue, okay, but she's in California. How's that doing anything to Hawkins? What he says about a magical invisible boogeyman doesn't make any sense, really, except something is slaughtering these kids. How could it be the girl in California? And yeah, guess what? You big dummy, it is the invisible boogeyman from another dimension. So, you know, who's going to have egg on their face at the end of this? But Paul asks him again, where is she? And the agent, you know, he just kind of looks away. He averts his eyes like you're never going to get it from me. So Paul just walks away and the guards pick Wallace up, and they shove him standing into this metal box like he's a nerdy freshman in some 80s high school movie. And Wallace is like, "Row!" And I have to say, when I was in high school, my lockers, they were never human size. Like, that would seem luxurious to have a locker big enough to actually be stuffed into. Not that I want to be stuffed in it, but if you were going to get stuffed in one, hopefully it's big enough that your shoulders don't get, you know, jammed up. So we cut away from wherever they are, and we go to the Nevada desert. We find 11 sitting crisscross applesauce on a bed. I feel like I'm talking extra fast, more fast than usual. I think because the fire alarm got me all hopped up, and also because it's late and I want to get everything I wanted. I took a little notes and I want to get it all out to you guys before the end of the day, which is only an hour and 5 minutes away. I'm going to guess it's the caffeine that you see that? That's a little diet soda caffeine, and also the fire alarm that fired my alarm. That doesn't make any sense, but here we go. So 11 is sitting, as I said, cross-legged on a bed. She looks at the suit across the room from her. It's the Nina Project suit, the suit to get into the tank. And we cut to her in some lab with Brenner looking at CAT scans of, I'm guessing, 11's brain. And he's talking about, you know, what happens to the mind when someone has a stroke. It scrambles the mind to the point where some people forget how to do things. He believes that her signals were scrambled in much the same way when she was attacked last year, which was in the cabin, right? That's what kind of did everything. Was it, right? Wait a minute. Was it the cabin? No, because she still attacked the thing in the mall, but maybe that was it. I don't remember. I know she was having trouble then. And just as a stroke victim, you know, can learn to walk again, he believes that, you know, that her powers can be returned fully. They're still in here. He's like, in her head, he just needs to remember. And then he gives her a little boop on the nose, which it's like, I don't know. That just felt like a power move that I thought was friggin' creepy. And while he's talking to her, we're also getting glimpses of her heading down a hallway in the Nina suit. Looks like she is going to be getting back into the tank. But before we get there, we see Brenner bring her into the video store. Apparently, there's a video store on campus. He brings her into this room, and he's like, at my lab, because this isn't the same lab, so they had to have everything trucked out of the Hawkins laboratory. Everything that ever happened in the lab was captured on videotape. Every success, every failure, every Christmas party, every ice cream social, all of it there on video cassette. And he says, you know, using these tapes, the tank, that weird bathing bath helmet, bathing cap, whatever it is with all the doodads, and shooting what appears to be applesauce into Eleven's veins. I don't know. That's the first thing I thought of when I saw it. He believes that they can repair her broken signals. And as we saw tonight, which was her, you know, taking those guards and, I don't know, killing them, making the sparks fly, that process has already begun. He pops a tape into a VCR, and it's a top loader. I think our first VCR was a top loader where the thing goes, you pops up, you put the tape in, and then you push it down. That was before automated loaders where you push it in the front and the tape, you know, gets pulled in, which is more convenient for space-wise, but I feel also does lend to, you know, something like that malfunctioning and tapes getting caught more. So he pops the tape in and we see, you know, that sweet, kind, orderly, you know, just that innocent boy hooking 11 up to that light bulb test that we saw her re-experience in the tank, you know, previously. And 11 has a good question. She's like, you know, this all happened. If this all happened, why don't I remember? And he tells her, because you do not want to. He said the brain has a defense mechanism that's protecting you from bad memories, from trauma. You've buried these memories. And she says, Papa, when I was in there, I saw something. This is the clip I'm going to play at the beginning. I was going to play the Jason clip, but this clip is way better. There was blood, so much blood. And he says, that was another memory, a more powerful one, you know, invading your subconscious. You have demons, 11. You have demons in your past. This is why we must proceed carefully, one step at a time, one memory at a time. If we go too fast, I'm afraid you could become lost in the darkness. And if you're lost, so are we all. He can't even say we're all lost. He has to say, so are we all. Like, very Shakespearean sounding to me. Now, it's funny. He says, you have demons, 11. You have demons in your past. It makes it seem like you have demons in you, in your head, you know, like in your psyche, in your temper, something. But literally what he's actually telling her is you have a demon in your past and it's got blonde hair and a cute, innocent smile, but don't be fooled by it. But he can't tell it. Like, he knows what happens, but he has to let her experience it to trigger whatever, you know, magic he thinks can happen with this tank. So as he's finished saying, you know, if you are lost, so are we all. We see the closing of the tank. 11 goes inside the tank. The videos fire up. She's sealed in, much like Darth Vader gets sealed in when his helmet comes off to, you know, take a bath or something. And then her eyes close. And we leave the Nevada desert and we go back to Hawkins for the final moments of this 10 minutes. We're at a construction site for a moment, and one of the workers there really needs to make a poop. So he has to go make a number two. So he leaves his belt and is with a walkie-talkie right outside the porta potty. Thankfully, Eddie's like, zoinks, goes up, sneaks up, takes the walkie, runs off into the woods. And then we jump over to our Hawkins heroes who are all in the Wheeler-mobile, where pretty much Robin kind of takes the charge of worrying about, you know, things for everyone. Like, she, everyone's probably worried about the same thing, but she has no problem like verbalizing it. She's like, not to be a wimp, but can I just stay in the car? She doesn't want to be in the car for this visit because this is going to royally suck. Nancy's like, it's going to be fine. Robin says she can't take seeing Eddie's doe eyes break again. She really, really can't. She doesn't want to tell him this news, you know? And Steve's like, well, maybe at least he can drink himself to feel better. And he holds up the beer. And Max is like, that's what my mom does. You can see Lucas give her a look like, oh. And Robin, you know, tries to think of how can they actually break this news to Eddie. It's like, good news. We have some junk food for you. We have some beer. And we found Vecna. But the bad news is he's in that other, darker, much scarier dimension. And he's got the gates closed. So we have no way of getting to him. He's entirely shut off from us. So basically, we're screwed. Oh, that's it. They're screwed, but that's where we leave off. So, yeah, that's it. The first 10 minutes of the dive, and no alarm has gone off since then. So that's exciting. It would be alarming if it did. Thank you. So what did we learn in this 10 minutes? We learned a great deal. Number one, we learned that Jason truly believes now, even more than ever, that Eddie has made a pact with Satan. We also learned that what Brenner is trying to do, what the actual Nina Project is using this catalog of videos of every moment to, and some meditative state and some sort of psychological drug to kind of have 11 reimagine these moments and relive them in hopes that it reignites her powers. And there's the freaking alarm again. Hello. Hi. So I spoke too soon and the alarm went off again. Now, it went off a lot quicker this time. Now it is 11:08 p.m., and I'm hoping that the alarm doesn't keep going off all night. Now, I have tomorrow off, but my wife has to go to work, and I'm hoping that this is the last time we hear the alarm. We can't figure it out. There's alarms. Oh, God. It's now 11:12 p.m., and we might have found the culprit, and we took the battery out of this. But you hear that? There's still a beep going. I'm going to finish this now, folks. Listen, they're hoping to get Eleven's powers back. They're afraid to tell Eddie what's going on there with Vecna, and Jason thinks Eddie is a Satanist. There's the recap. I'm calling it. First 10 minutes done. This is a memorable one, but not for the right reasons. So I'm heading off. I don't know if I'm going to be able to go to bed or if I'm going to be looking for alarms all night like a crazy person. Either way, thank you guys for listening. You can follow me on all the socials at Geek Mentality, except TikTok, which is Geek Mentality Mike. The Facebook page is Fans.Experts. The YouTube channel is Fans.Experts. And that's because the website where all my podcasts are found is Fans.Experts.com. Except you can go straight to StrangerDangerPodcast.com to find everything Stranger Danger. And of course, Stranger Danger Podcast is also on Blue Sky, so check that out. Oh my God. Let's call it. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you so much for subscribing. And remember, it's I can't even get it straight out. My dog is shaking and shivering at my leg. It's people like you and people like me who can help keep Stranger Things alive forever. Oh my God. Fans Not Experts.